Hey, everybody, Trev here. Before you listen to today's episode of the podcast, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to look at what you're listening to. We have recently created a new podcast feed for the flagship show. It is called the Struggling Artist Podcast. Right now, you may be listening to us on the Struggling Artist Podcast archive. So everything prior to this episode that you're going to listen to now is on the archive. I did not want to delete the archive completely. I wanted it to be up still. So to fix that, we have to make this new one. But after 2 weeks, there'll be no new episodes on the archive. So you're going to have to resubscribe to us on whatever platform you use. I'm sorry. It was the only way I knew how to do it, with keeping everything on the internet, as well as bringing you new episodes through our new host, which is hosted by the website, thestrugglingartistpodcast.com. I really do apologize for that, and it's a minor inconvenience. I know. I'm sorry. But in the long run, this is going to be better for everything that we do moving forward. Again, and I wanted to keep the archive on the platforms so people could listen to them. Now, if you're listening to this right now, and the platform your platform that you use doesn't have the Struggling Artist Podcast, it only has the Struggling Artist Podcast archive, let me know, trev@thestrugglingartistpodcast.com, and I will make sure we get to that platform as well. I know this is a minor inconvenience, but in the long run, it is going to be so much better for the podcast, for all of you, and we've got a lot of exciting things moving forward that we kind of felt limited to with using Buzzsprout. So again, please subscribe to the Struggling Artist Podcast and take a look to make sure you're subscribed to that and not the Struggling Artist Podcast archive. Thanks, guys. See ya. Hey, guys, Trev from the Struggling Artist Podcast, and I want to talk to you real quick about Struggling Artist Record Club. The Struggling Artist Record Club is a vinyl record subscription service where I hunt and curate the best punk and punk adjacent music out there and mail their record to your door each and every month. Imagine finding your new favorite band from across the country without ever having to leave the house. It doesn't get much better than that. The excitement of discovering new music just got that much easier. As a member of the Struggling Artist Record Club, you are going to receive some of the best music you've ever heard from bands you may never even heard of. Whether you've been collecting records for years or just starting out, the Struggling Artist Record Club is designed specifically for you. And right now, all new members get a Struggling Artist Record Club exclusive along with the monthly selection. So head to strugglingartistrecordclub.com, pick a membership, and start building that collection today.
You're listening to the Struggling Artist Podcast.
People need to be entertained. They need the distraction.
With your host, Trev Allen.
I wish to God that somebody would do something to block out the voices in my head for 5 minutes.
Hey, everybody. Today, our guests are members of Diablo Gato, Drew, Chuck, and Jesse. We talk about their new single, Lost Highway, which is out now. And we also talk about 10 years of Diablo Gato. They're celebrating their 10-year anniversary this year. Stay tuned to the end of the episode to hear Lost Highway on this podcast. This is episode 251 of the Struggling Artist Podcast, Struggling with Diablo Gato. Well, the return of Diablo Gato, and it's almost everybody this time, right?
Almost.
Yeah. Johnny may jump in. You never know. He's a wily one.
Yeah.
I sent him the link.
All right, cool.
Yeah, he's an old school guy, so we don't know.
Yeah.
He might figure it out. He might not.
It'll be cool. Cool either way.
He might drive over to your house.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very analog.
Is he back in the area, or is he still, like, he moved away, right?
No, he's in Rhode Island.
Oh, he's in Rhode Island. I thought he moved out somewhere else for a moment.
Forever in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
John will never leave.
He just moves around Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Yeah. Accurate.
No doubt. Well, guys, welcome back to the show. Jesse, yeah. I know it's been a minute since you've been on. Chuck and Drew, you guys came on, was it last year? Yeah, it was, or the year before.
Yeah.
It was for Jet Black Knight.
It was last year, yeah.
Yeah, for Jet Black Knight. And you guys, like, we're celebrating 10 years of Diablo Gato?
Yeah, dude, 10 years. God damn.
It's wild. It's wild. I want to ask you, like, first off, I want to say I hit Drew up, like, 2 weeks ago, I think. Remember, Drew, I was like, hey, can I use one of your songs for this thing on the Patreon, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you never have to ask.
Yeah, I know. It was Jet Black Knight. I got to tell you, every time I listen to that song, I do the kick the Reverend does when the song kicks in, you know, after the intro. No matter where I am, I got to do that. I got to do that, like that door kicking kick that he's got. So
it's funny that you see him as the Reverend because he's not in that video. He is in a different video.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. He's in the Diablo Gato universe, though, right? The multiverse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just picturing you doing a Van Halen kick right now, like off the, you know, off the drum riser.
Yeah, yeah.
That big David Lee Roth karate kick in the air.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Or Vegas Elvis kick.
Yeah. 10 years of Diablo Gato. I want to ask you guys, like, I mean, it's been the same lineup for 10 years, too, right?
Well, yes, other than the departure of Kemp about 3 years in.
Okay. What have we all learned? Like, what is this, like, have you guys settled in? You've all played music before in other bands. Is this it? Is this the project you guys always wanted?
At the time. Yeah. I mean, I started this off with, like, I've been so grossly into punk rock, but I've been a long time with Chuck, you know, friends with him, and I always wanted to get kind of just more roots rock and roll, not like real rockabilly, but, like, you know, early rock and roll. And then, you know, Jesse had hit him up, and he knew Johnny, and it all pulled together. But yeah, it's always been I never thought it would last this long, but I'm not complaining at all. Like, I feel really lucky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's, Trev, it's weird. I think for all of us, it's maybe the longest relationship of any kind some of us have had. It's a long time to be married, but, you know, is it, for me at least, is it what I want? The thing about Diablo Gato, Is it? I've been playing in bands for 40 years. It is the most cohesive piece of, not, it sounds pretentious, but the most cohesive piece of overall artwork that centers around a band I've ever experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the videos, because of Chuck's graphics, because of this weird little fucking world that we've created. That there is something just about our collective thought process, our zeitgeist, and our aesthetic that you can't plan on. It just happens. And generally it doesn't happen, but with this band it did. So it's like this really cool little world. And the videos have become a big part of that. And I love that.
Mm-hmm. Chuck, what about for you?
I mean, I feel like I always need to be in a band that is doing some sort of roots rockabilly-ish type of music. Before Diablo Gato, I was in a band called Wicked Whiskey, which was a little bit more leaning more into the rockabilly aspect of things. And let's see, when that band broke up, it wasn't too long after Drew and I connected. But yeah, we kind of didn't really know what we were getting ourselves into. So to speak, like you said, I don't think any of us thought that we'd be here 10 years later chatting on a podcast about the band. And yeah, I mean, I feel like I just like I said, I always need to have some sort of Billy-esque something or other going on in my musical life. So yeah, right now, absolutely.
No doubt.
Hey, Trev, now that you've heard Lost Highway, does it strike you as rockabilly at all?
No, all right. So yeah, well, let's get into the new single. Is it out? Is the single out yet or not right now? Not yet.
No, not yet.
Okay. So yeah,
I think by the time this comes out, it'll.
Yeah, right? For sure. Yeah. Hope. Yes. Yeah. So like, here's my take on it. It's you guys. I know it's Diablo Gatto, and there's something about Diablo Gatto that I've always been able to separate from rockabilly or punk rock, or you know what I mean, or like psychobilly, all that stuff. I could always, you guys always had this, you still do have this unique sound that makes it yours. And I guess now that you mention it, Jesse, like I could see more of like a rock and roll tinge to this song than normal, but it's very much, I feel like it's very much on brand for Diablo Gatto. You know what I'm saying?
I just was, you know, I mean, there always is that Billy element, but on the other hand, is Jet Black Knight rockabilly?
No, I don't think you could pigeonhole what you guys are. And it's funny you say that. So like I went to Deep Cuts a few weeks ago to see the Drowns play. And I was talking with Franklin Siplis and another gentleman, and I never met the guy before. And I wish I could remember his name. I wish I could remember his name now. But this other gentleman, like, we just got on the topic of like bands and how they sound and how people who write reviews are lazy and they'll just draw comparisons as opposed to really diving into influences. They just draw comparisons. Like, if you like this, you're going to like this kind of thing. Right. So we were talking and then he mentioned Diablo Gatto and how like you could never pigeonhole that band into anything. And him and I had this, then Franklin left because he had to like get on stage and play. And like me and this gentleman had like an extra like 10 minute conversation about you guys and how your sound is just, it's super unique. And like, you can't really, again, I would never be able to pigeonhole what you guys sounded like, you know?
That's cool.
I love Franklin. Such a good dude.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So like, yeah. So like there's definitely, and the video itself is very on brand, right? For what you guys are. Like the moment Lost Highway came up in the blue letters, like I was back inside the Diablo Gatto universe, you know?
Yeah. Good.
So tell me about this video. Like this video, I feel like, where like, all right, so you had the two videos with I call him the Reverend, right? I always feel like he's the same character because it just it's him. And then you have the video where you guys are like in a garage, I believe, like playing or a workshop, and you guys you're jamming out there. So this one is more focused on you guys, like that first video I ever saw of you. And but like you guys are now like, instead of it just being the band, like you guys are part of the Gatto universe now, right? It's not just your universe. You're sucked into it. You guys are characters in there now. That's kind of my take on the video. What went into the planning of like how you wanted this video to go?
It was really came down to like, you know, Lost Highway being a David Lynch film, the name of the song, kind of what the lyrics are about, and a love of David Lynch altogether, like Twin Peaks, Blue Velvet. We just kind of like talked to our buddy Sean, who has been doing, he's been doing these videos, and we just work really well with him, that we pitched him the idea. We're like, hey, Sean, David Lynch, like tribute kind of video for this song. And he goes, fuck yes. And so it just kind of took off from there. We started sharing ideas. We always loved, like the Black Lodge from Twin Peaks, so we use that as a backdrop. I was like, we just started picking scenes and characters kind of from our favorite, David Lynch movies and TV shows.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, the initial part of the conversation was the, in dream sequence from Blue Velvet.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew just murdered that in the video. Like, It's, Drew, you're perfect. Just perfect. The gesture.
Well, I do. I try to emulate Dean Stockwell in every part of my life.
Well, you're doing good, Ken. But
I don't have the hair. You can tell there's a lot of wigs going on. But
that blew me away. I had to do a double take when I saw that.
Killer Bob.
People keep asking me, who's that guy with the long gray hair? I'm like, that's me.
So it was really
about, another member.
All about the vibe. And Sean was trying to find a chevron carpet for the studio because they're like, let's do it, you know, in the Red Room in the Black Lodge. And he couldn't find a chevron carpet that was big enough that he liked. So he and Ben, the preacher, painted the fucking floor of the studio.
They painted the whole thing.
And Sean really studied Lynch, the color saturation, the editing, all of it. So he was, you know, we're very lucky to have Sean because he gets it and he goes all in.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently, also on the editing end and stuff, we don't touch what he does. We come up with a concept like the fortune teller or whatever, and we shoot it in a day or two, and that's it. He runs with it. And we're just like, dude, you do you.
Mm-hmm.
And we absolutely respect him as an artist.
Yep.
His understanding of us, and it works really well.
I think it's important to know when you're a cook, when you should get out of the kitchen and let the other cook do his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. For sure. Yeah. So I see the video and I see it as you all becoming part of like the story now, like you guys, like, cause there's a scene like, and I don't want to give away too much on the video. I want people to watch it. Right. So, but like this, the spots, like when at one point each one of you are in a chair and then you're not, like, that's you getting like pulled in. Right. That's going through the crystal ball or whatever it is at this point. I just lost my microphone.
If you want to relate it to, because we're in the crystal ball in the Jet Black Knight video.
Yeah.
If you're linking them, that's fucking awesome. If you look at the blasphemy video, the preacher is huffing a gas mask. That's Frank Booth in Blue Velvet.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a narrative and a love for certain things that flows through these, but you know, it's interesting you said it was a performance video. We kind of look at these things now, Trev, as making little three-minute movies. So it's not so much like the first video we did of like, here we are, we're a band, and we're doing a band thing, and we're playing our instruments to the recording of the song. But they're these weird little movies, and I really love that.
Mm. I think it gives an added like aesthetic to what you guys are. You know what I'm saying? Like in the music is great too. Like obviously the music's good, but like to have the videos and kind of have them go into this world, like I just think it's a very creative thing that I think gets lost a lot of times nowadays, especially with, cause like a lot of people who just put out videos now, they're just doing it cause like you need them on YouTube, right? You just, you know, unfortunately, we are no longer in the MTV age, you know what I mean, or the VH1 era. So we need videos for just to get like another like more people to view them, right? To see it, to get in front of.
But Trev, at a certain, during the 80s, at bands of a certain level, it was the same thing.
Right.
You had to make videos. And some bands just did performance stuff. Like here's Billy Squier dancing around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other artists like Peter Gabriel or David Bowie or the Talking Heads.
ZZ Top,
yeah, good call. We're really pushing the envelope and doing something beyond a performance video. And they were making...
Look at what's Devo. That?
Yeah, genius.
Yeah,
they're creating a world with that video palette, you know, like trying to go with the music to make you, I don't know, bring you into that world a little more, you know. Peter Gabriel is a great pick there, Jesse. Because I mean, look at what he did. He was groundbreaking. He's doing a lot of stop motion photography, animation. I mean, yeah, it was awesome. I miss that stuff.
Yeah,
you don't really see it
anymore. I do too. I say it all the time. Like, I wish there was like, I miss that MTV era of like music videos. It was just so it added to everything, right? And I feel like because of music videos, there were bands that became popular. Like, I don't think Tool would have became popular without having music videos and when they first started.
Their videos are incredible. You know, I can't
definitely help them.
I can't hear Black Hole Sun.
Yeah. Yes.
Without seeing that video in my mind.
I was thinking of that yesterday during the eclipse.
But, you know, it all depends. It's like, are you just trying to promote your band? Or are you trying to make art? Hmm. And as far as us as a band, we're really comfortable with where we are. It's like, we're not trying to get anywhere. We're a band that plays in New England. We make enough money to put back into the band, to make recordings that we like, and to make videos that we like, and to make more cool merch that Chuck designs. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And we just do it all over again. Like, we're not trying to get anywhere. Right. Where we are is just fine.
Maybe that's part of why we've been together for 10 years.
Mm.
I think, Chuck, you bring up a really valid point. You know, and as long as the music moves forward and the vision, like what we're doing, continues to develop, then we have fun with it. And if it stopped doing that, it would stop being fun. But right now it's really fucking fun.
Yeah.
And I can't wait until we do the next thing.
Right. Right. Chuck, have you thought of doing like an animated thing with the artwork that you do for the band and stuff like that, like doing an animated video or even like just like a little like clip, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I don't really do any animation. So, but I have had people ask if they've wanted us, like if they wanted to, you know, have us have them animate something.
Mm.
But no one's ever actually followed through on it.
Yeah. That's a tough one. I tried to get a little like web animated thing going on one time because I have no talent in that. I had the story and I had like the voices that I was going to do for it and stuff. But like, that's a tough one to get the right people, you know?
Yeah.
We talked about it with Sean on this video, and there is some animation in the Blasphemy video. It's incredibly time consuming to do.
Oh yeah.
So on the Sean end, it's like too much of an ask. He's too busy. It would be cool. You know, we talk about animation and really cool videos. The White Stripes Fell in Love with a Girl, a Lego video. That was fucking cool. But they had bank to do that with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got no bank. We just got
you don't even want to know what I won't tell you what we pay to make these.
Yeah.
But ridiculous.
Like you were saying, you can see it's not just like a video, like a music video. It's making art. You're creating art. You're making these little movies that all kind of, they can intertwine. Even Chuck and I discussed that, like with even the first video kind of still intertwines with everything. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think that's partly like due to Sean and like some of the like video stuff that he overlaid on that definitely just kind of is cohesive with what he's been doing for the other two videos too.
Right on.
There may be a bit of an aesthetic to just who we are, what we look like, you know, stuff we love. So in that first video was pretty real. I mean, where that was shot, that was shot in the shop Johnny and I were in Pawtucket.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's where we had our cars teared apart and all of Johnny's 9,000 motorcycles.
Yeah.
I will say there are a lot of Easter eggs in this new video that are actually from all the other videos.
Oh,
in the background.
Now I'm going to have to go back and watch it again.
Yeah. I love a good Easter egg. I love a good egg, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. So yeah, we threw some stuff in there.
That's cool. Are you guys still with Rumbar or
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have,
they've been awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Do you guys plan on anything coming out soon other than the single and the video?
Yep.
Anything you want to tease?
Sir.
Anything you want to tease at the moment or no?
Probably an EP in the fall.
Yeah.
Late summer or fall.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. The way music is nowadays, like singles and EPs seem to be just where we're at, right? As far as streaming wise, like getting more people to hit streams. I know someone that just started releasing singles in every month, and like their numbers have jumped incredibly. It's just being able to get put into that algorithm, right? It's just people are single serving at the moment, and you know, there's still a place for records. There's still a place for records and EPs and everything, I think. But I think at the moment, you know, we're in this like people finding new music, and it's through playlists. It's not through finding an album the way we all used to, you know.
That's how I find bands, is like bands I really love right now, like Stiff Richards or Bob Villain or
Bob Villain's very good, yeah.
Yeah, or like the Chats, a lot of Australian punk, Plague Vendor from LA, I'm really into. This all came off of like, I'll have a Spotify playlist going and be like, what the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm.
Stiff Richards, that's really good. And then I'll go down the rabbit hole with them.
Yeah. I mean, it's just to where we're at, right? Like you said, we went through the music video phase, and now we're onto this single thing with streaming. And I mean, I still think there's a place for a full length out there for everybody. You know what I mean? Especially once you find a band that's yours, like when, you know what I'm saying? Like once you're like, this music was made for me. Like let's really deep dive into there. And the thing about your video, your music and your videos, like, or at least with the videos, I feel like help create like a single story for you. You know what I'm saying? Cause you can write an album and they can, they're all their own songs. It doesn't have to be a concept album, but there's always that overarching thing. But if you have videos like the ones you guys make, you can take that and it really helps that one song become like its own thing. Right.
Yeah. I think that's where it helps by doing the single releases stuff, because you can actually do this kind of thing that way. And then, you know, later on you can compile the songs and release them as one thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's going back to what you're saying. It's really tough to, like, I hate to use the M word, but market your band in today's world is just like machine gun fire of everybody firing at once, you know? And so it's hard. It's really hard. You put a whole album out, it'll just get swept under the carpet. And then you got like 12 songs that didn't get the attention that they probably deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One song at a time, and it's a focal point.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, you can always go, like, we haven't put out vinyl since Old Scratch. And there's a lot of our stuff. The only vinyl we've done is Old Scratch and the Paint the Devil, Take the Ride single. The first record was a CD. Lou put out a compilation of all that stuff on CD. Mark spent a lot of money on Old Scratch. And it's beautiful, and the packaging's incredible. But I think vinyl in some respects is almost for like super fans and collectors. And I could be wrong about that, but I could see us... It's very expensive and it has a lot of lag time to do right in getting it produced. But I could see us doing something like perhaps this EP and whatever we write and record next year. And if we can find a way to put all of that out on vinyl, doing something like that would be super cool.
Mm. Mm.
You know, and then you have your LP, and it's really weird stuff as far as airplay on internet, on Sirius XM, on Underground Garage, all that stuff. They don't even give a shit when it was released. We have stuff that from the first album that gets played on an Underground Garage.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. somebody like Rodney or Genya Raven or, you know, DJs like that don't care if it came out in 2017.
Right.
It's new to them. And if they like it, they want their audience to hear it.
Mm-hmm. It's almost, we're almost at a point, with the exception of like terrestrial radio and some of, and some other things, but like, it's almost like we're at the point of like the DJ is just making a playlist, right? They're making their own playlist with some kind of flow that they want. They, cause you, like you said, it's new to them.
Right. And on terrestrial light radio, they do not have the liberty to do that unless it's some, you know, college radio,
right?
Because it's all programmed by the program director and the corporation that owns it. And it's going to be the Red Hot Chili Peppers and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, and then more of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, which is why I listen to sports radio.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Jesse, I will say this: like you were just talking about, like the vinyl's more for like this, like nowadays it's more for like the super fan and the collectors, and like there's something that you had said the first time we ever did one of these, and that was like the lifers versus the tourists, right? Like the general, you got your general pop, like the tourists who just kind of like music and this and that. But then you got the lifers, like that we dive in, we go balls deep into everything we do. We try to find stuff and we, you know.
Well, I mean, the tourists and the civilians.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, just regular people. I don't get me wrong. Like we did a show. At the Music Room on Cape Cod, opening for Slim Jim Phantom from the Stray Cats. And maybe about 20%, 25% of that audience, you could tell because they were wearing Reverend Horton Heat shirts and stuff like that, knew who we were, had seen us before. But, you know, the rest of the room was just like Fitzy and his wife Colleen from fucking Plymouth. I love playing to them. Mm. And they dug it.
Yeah, winning people over, I think, is like one of the best things, right?
Yeah, and like the Del Fuegos once famously said in the Miller Beer commercial, we play folk.
Yeah, like we still play shows where people see us for the first time, and those are honestly like my favorite shows because they'll come up to just like, you know, oh my God, I've never heard of you guys.
Mm.
And that happened that night. We'd like, you know, people were asking a lot. We were hanging out with everybody and just talking music and, you know, where can we find more stuff?
Yeah.
Online, check out the video. We're everywhere.
Yeah.
We got our little world.
And we'll see if they remember us when we go back there and play our own show in August.
Yeah.
I agree with Drew. That's like the most gratifying.
Yeah, for sure. Like you want to win over, you want to make people go from like the civilian or whatever to the lifer, right? Like
what the Del Fuego said is we play folk music, you know, it's for folks. It's really that simple.
Yeah.
You know, this is a, this isn't fine art. You know, this isn't.
It's art that's pretty fine though.
You're pretty fine. But this isn't something hanging in a gallery, you know?
Right, right.
This is something you come to a show and hopefully you shake your ass a little bit.
Yeah.
And hopefully it makes you like want to fight or fuck or something. Those two things are good. It's rock and roll, you know? And the videos are another piece of that, but the live show, absolutely. And playing out of town or playing to people who haven't seen us, who aren't jaded, who aren't trying to be cool, when we're the only people in the room trying to be cool. Those are great.
Yeah. Yeah. The show I saw you guys at when I finally got a chance to see you guys play at Faces was like one of the best fucking bills that I'd seen at a place in a while. Like it was you guys. Was it you guys, Coffin Salesman, Casket Rats? Was there another?
Yeah.
Was there one more band? Am I missing?
I think
band?
There was one more.
I don't think so. I think we only do bands in there.
Yeah, you guys. I mean, what a show that was. It was absolutely amazing.
Coffin Salesman and Casket Rats are
both those bands are
brilliant in completely different ways.
Yeah, and it was a completely different mix up of sounds, you know?
Well, so was last Friday night, you know, with, I mean, back in the original punk rock day, you would see that. You know, you could see the Talking Heads, Blondie, and the Ramones on a bill.
Yeah.
You know, and the only thing these bands had in common was their attitude. That's what made them punk rock bands. I don't really want to go to a show and see four hardcore bands or four ska bands.
Yeah, there's a place, there's a time and place for it.
Or rockabilly bands.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it. I get why those things are booked. And sometimes when we book stuff, this goes way back when Drew and I were in the New Alibis. We had played the Rumble 1 year and we made friends with people like with Gene Dante and the Future Starlets. And we were like, let's try doing a show at the Middle East called Punks versus Glams. And it was the New Alibis, Gene Dante and the Future Starlets. I think one of Chris Bratt's bands and I forget. But the risk is that you're not making that the social place to be for a certain clique of people where you're going to get, 100 or 200 of a certain social set to show up. The risk is, are people going to really go out and see this? And those bills are the most fun because they're really entertaining. Get, three or four bands of sort of different, I don't want to say genre, but different, really different flavors and put them together. I think that's really entertaining. It's interesting.
Mm.
And be interesting. Be fucking interesting.
Yeah.
Nope. You know?
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you guys have any shows coming up soon we can put out here?
Yep. Does anybody have that in front of them?
I'm sorry. I'm on the streets outside of Cambridge waiting to go see Goat who plays at Sonya.
Yeah.
Let me pull up the calendar.
Yeah, pull it up. Pull it up.
Because we have some...
Drew, you're the man of the people out there. You're out there.
I am. Hey, when Unger's at the bar, I got to go.
Yeah,
gotta show off. I love that man. I love Gozu too. Great band. We also did a video with Sean. That's out. Definitely check that out. But yeah, we like all genres and all bands. We're not like strictly this, strictly that. Yeah. We love music. We love good people.
That's it. That's what it's all about. That's
what it's we all like weird about. Shows.
I love weird shows.
So our next show I know is in Weymouth. I think it's April 20th. We're playing a Curiosities Market, which is like oddities, weird stuff.
It's the Oddities Market
at
show.
Barrel Z House. It's at a brewery.
It's Barrel House. I've got it in front of me. It's an afternoon show, 1 to 3 at Barrel House Z, which is a brewery in Weymouth. And this is put on by this guy, Blackbeard Productions, who does a lot of freak show stuff and a lot of fetish stuff. So that should be kind of interesting.
Mm.
That's on Saturday.
Can't wait.
And then the following Saturday, we're back on the South Shore, kid. We're at the New World Tavern in Plymouth, Mass. With the mighty Dogmatics. Nice. And Stop Calling Me Frank. That should be a burner. The night after that, we're the Sunday the 28th, we are at Askew in Providence with four is Hank Four, as in son of Hank Three, great great grandson of Hank Williams. His band is called The Strange Band. They're pretty interesting, and fuck me, I don't remember the name of the opening band. This was supposed to be with the Delta Bombers, but they fired their singer and are having to regroup in a whole weird situation. So they canceled the United States tour and are going to Europe with a different singer. So there's that. And May, I think, is pretty much we have off. And June 8th, we're back in Providence at Wes's, which is being with Hope Anchor, which is being booked by Danielle Teeler from Dusk.
Okay.
Losing Dusk was hard.
Yeah, that was awful when I saw that.
All right, rest in peace, Dusk. You're the best.
I believe that was, you guys had a show there It was like my first show from COVID, after COVID.
I think that Kim brought you to, didn't Kim McHale introduce you and I?
Yeah. At yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. It was
what that weird show. Mutual friendship.
Yeah. 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 That was the show. It started outside and then it started raining. So they had to move everything inside.
Oh, yeah. That show was brilliant.
Mutual Nation. Yep.
And I have video of that brunt of it. With like
right.
a cloud of weed smoke over the stage and everyone going crazy. And then it starts just raining and they hustled all the gear inside. Neutral Nation went on and then we played inside.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time playing in a packed club after the height of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And it was such a rush to play in
a packed club. Yeah, it was a good time.
Again. Yeah, that club, that little club was packed. I remember how fucking busy that place was. I was like, this is
crazy. There were people hanging in the windows and stuff.
I was hanging out. Yeah, I was hanging to the window. Yeah. So
just weed smoke everywhere. It was great.
Yeah. Well, all right. So Drew, I know you got to get to a show. So let me just ask everyone this one question and then you guys can answer and we can get out of here. 10 years of Diablo Gatto. What has each of you learned? What can you pass on to bands that want to have a band that's been together this long, you know?
I got to say that with this band, I learned to not cater to people and do the music that you love with the people you love doing it with. And we've never stopped doing that. I don't think we've ever catered to styles or anything. We just always kind of go with what we're feeling. And it hasn't gone wrong. And really, there's no booklet on how this stuff works. You know, like we're all a pain in the ass. And being in Diablo can be a pain in the ass. But we have figured out ways to make this pain in the ass work for 10 years. And that you kind of got to do that, you know. It takes some compromise and moving around and, you know, you got to find a way that it works for everybody in the band. Cause at the end of the day, you're a bunch of people, you know, with lives and jobs and families. You're just trying to make art and, you know, enjoy it. So be patient, be understanding, you know, and, get in band with your friends and start playing. That's what it's all about.
Cool. Cool. Chuck.
I was going to touch on a couple of things that Drew said, but communication too, I think is a big.
I'm sorry. What did you say, Chuck? I didn't hear what you just said.
Exactly.
Cool. Cool. Jesse.
I think a lot for me has to do with acceptance, both within the band and as a band in the world. Stay in your lane, you know, and it's about love. You know, I really, really love what we collectively do. And that love is more important than the difficulties in doing it. Both inside forces, inside, because Drew said we're all a pain in the ass, and all of us are. And outside, because it's not easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
If we're easy to do, everybody would do it. You know? So it really, yeah, it's about acceptance and love and being authentic.
Nice. Right on. What's the official, do we have an official release date for the single, for Lost Highway?
Yeah, April 12th.
April 12th. Okay. And
that's the digital release.
All right, cool. And where can people find Diablo Gatto on the socials and the websites and all that stuff?
Yeah. DiabloGatto.net. That will send you to all the links that we have, but Diablo Gatto Music. That is our social handle for Instagram, Facebook.
Cool.
Yeah.
And The video drops on the 17th. Oh, I hate it that I just said drop. The video is released on the 17th, 5 days after the after the streaming single.
Cool. All right. Anything, any closing remarks before we get out of here? All right.
Cricket. I got nothing.
I want to throw a cricket sound in there.
Trevor, are you handling Get Punk now?
No, just the record club. Just I took over. Mark gifted me the burden of the record club. So that's what I got that going on now. So
I guess I could say it's been 10 years of being in a band, but we also didn't do it alone. We've had a lot of help and a lot of support from a lot of great lifers out there that, you know, either got to know us through Diablo Gato or knew us through our previous stuff. And, you know, I got to say, I love all of you guys for helping us out and keeping us, you know, doing this still. I'm incredibly thankful. So thank you guys.
Drew is absolutely on point. And whether it's Sean Riley, Mark Lind, you know, Lou Mansdorf, Michael Murata, Jack Younger, you know, Benny Grotto,
all you guys,
and the people that
Keith Bennett.
What's that?
Keith Bennett.
Keith fucking Bennett. You know,
magical bastard.
And another shout out, you know, to the photographers, Nikki Tamaro and Coleman Rogers and Josh Pickering and all of those photographers who were shooting.
Pat Pitsiak. Patty P.
Yeah. You know, there's this whole community of super talented people that have been very supportive of what we do and supportive of what other good bands do. And, fuck, that's pretty punk rock,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Nobody's getting paid. You.
I'm you. Okay. I'm okay. I'm
yeah.
Okay. Don't make it awkward for me right now, Jesse. Come on. No. No, I appreciate you guys. I appreciate your music, and I appreciate it. And I've always said it, New England has a very, very strong music community. It's always been that way from as far back as I can remember. From when I first kind of stumbled into it. And I love to see that it's still like that today. And we have something special here. And I talk to bands from other cities, other states, other countries. And like, you know, I always feel really good about what we have going on in this little part of the world, you know? So, well, Diablo Gato, congrats on 10 years of making awesome art. Another 10 years, we'll do this again, but I hope to have you back on the podcast and see you sooner than the 20-year anniversary of the band.
All right, brother.
I'll see you guys. Hunger, I'm coming, buddy. I'm coming.
All right, and that's the show. I want to thank Diablo Gato again for being today's guest on the Struggling Artist Podcast. In the show notes, you will have links to Diablo Gato's stuff, their website. The music should be... The video won't be up yet, but I'll send a link to their YouTube page and everything else too. Thank you to Chris Chavez for being producer of the podcast. Thank you to State Line Records for being sponsors of this podcast. And thank you to Loser Circle for allowing us to use their song, Great Illusion of Time, off of their album, Took Long Enough, as our intro. Thank you to everybody over at Patreon supporting us over there. Lots of new shows. We have some new content going up all the time now. We're over 300 posts on our Patreon, which is pretty active. So if you want to become a patron, head to patreon.com/podcast TSA and check out our tiers. Hopefully you join one. There's a lot of good stuff going on over there. All contributions go to help with projects that we do and for the podcast itself, whether it be gear or putting on a show or whatever. Thank you to everybody for listening to this podcast. You know, we just passed 250 episodes. We should have the website up by now, by the time you guys are listening to this and it's, awesome. You know, oh, we started a Discord. I want to add that too. We started a Discord. If you're into Discord, there'll be a link in our link tree for the Discord. If you want to join that, that is going to be a landing page for people who want to post their bands. There is a channel. I believe that's how it goes. There's channels. It's well, no, it's the podcast channel, and then there's like rooms or something, right? There's a room specifically for posting your shows that are coming up. This all came out of spite because I was pissed off that Facebook screwed up their algorithm and I wasn't seeing bands' posts about their events pages. So join our Discord if you're into that kind of thing. All right, it's time to get out of here with a song, and we do have a song to play. Diabolgado was nice enough to let us play their new song, which is called Lost Highway, out now. Here we go. Until next week, take care of yourselves, and we'll talk to you then.